So hello, my name's Mark Patterson. I'm one of the hosts of the Creative Adventurers Survival Guide, and I'll let my co-host Claire Driver introduce herself.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, it's lovely to be doing this today. I'm your other host for today, and I'm here with my other co-host, Lightning, my creative muse, my cat, and she's just always very interested whenever we do anything like this. So, yeah, it's great to be here.
And if you're listening to this podcast, we should point out that Lightning features quite prominently on our artwork.
Of course she does.
Well, I suppose we better say why we're here. So the Creative Adventurers Survival Guide has been a project that both Claire and myself have been working on, certainly since before COVID even struck. It seems to be that since the pandemic has caused so much catastrophe, and particularly for the creative industries, it seems the right time for us to be putting this podcast out there to encourage fellow creatives who may have been blown off course and aren't on their creative path anymore. So yeah, I think that the pandemic has really brought about the need for this kind of podcast. And I would say the one thing that you and I love talking about nonstop, Claire, is everything to do with creativity.
Yeah, certainly. And in its broadest sense as well, because I'm just going to offer a little reflection in here. So every time you say something, it triggers something for me. And when you started off by saying that for the last year, we've both been working on this idea, this for this podcast, my inner critic leapt up very loudly and said, well, Mark has, I haven't. And I think that's a theme that we're going to get into a little later on in another episode, I think. But it's been a really difficult year for all of us. And I think many of us are still suffering from that kind of exhaustion, and really hoping that just by having these discussions and creating this space through this podcast, we can start to think our own way through how do we get through these barriers, how do we continue to be creative in the face of so much uncertainty, but also take the opportunity that this creates for totally rethinking how we work as individuals, how we collaborate with others, and how we can almost reimagine our own creative paths going forward and our own lives. And it's not something that we see enough of in the national media. You know, the arts have not really had the same kind of support that we've seen for other sectors. And yet again, I think it falls to creatives to pick up the baton and do it themselves, which is what we're also good at.
I mean, obviously, when we started recording this podcast pre-COVID, it was so nice to actually be in a physical space together and be able to bounce off one another. And even when we weren't recording, we would be really enjoying sharing those creative collaborations together in whether it be out on a walk or in a very quiet, peaceful corner of a cafe somewhere. It was nice to share that collaboration in that way. And I don't know how you feel, Claire, but I really feel that is something that I really miss at this moment in time, particularly a year on. It's unbelievable to think that we can't be recording this podcast in the way that we would want to record it. But thank goodness we've got the means to be able to do it in that way. And I suppose that prompted me to think, well, if this is how I'm feeling, and, I'd love to hear how you think about this, Claire, about how you've experienced trying to maintain creativity in lockdown, other people must surely be feeling and reeling in the same way. I was quite blown away by the statistics that I came across that in the UK alone, about 55,000 people have lost their jobs in the creative industries. And goodness knows what they're doing now to get by.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's massively underreported as well. And yeah, I mean, anecdotally, I've been following friends and colleagues through social media throughout this, and it's been really harrowing to see the difficulties this has created and the kind of toll it's taking on people's mental health as well. you know, and also to be just coming back again, and I don't mean to harp on about this, but coming back again to that kind of the void that we've had throughout the discussions at central government about support packages for other sectors of the economy, and the fact that the arts was not mentioned at all, and then anything that's come is incredibly late and has had to be lobbied for and fought for and argued for. And to for creators who give so much to the economy and enrich our lives in so many ways. Creative industries generated $116 billion for the UK economy pre-COVID. It's not a small amount of contribution to the to our national economy. And to for that not to be recognised has really taken its toll right from the beginning. And I've certainly felt that personally. And I just wonder whether at this point, Mark, it might be helpful if, for our listeners, we briefly say a little bit about, without going into too much detail, about the other areas of work that we're involved in our lives, because I think that'll certainly might provide some wider context as to, you know, where we're coming from with this, and how we've been able to either weave it through or the rest of our work, or whether it's been a struggle trying to fit it in.
Sure. I mean, in terms of what I'm doing as a career at the moment, my background career is in broadcasting predominantly. I used to work in TV and radio production. I then went on to work in the media communications sector. Thankfully, I've been able to work remotely from home as a consequence of that. But if I cast my mind back not that long ago to 2007, when we had the last credit crunch, I was in a particular situation where I wasn't quite so lucky working in the creative sector. I was at a point where I was between jobs and the credit crunch hit. And it, to be honest with you, it took me several years to get my career back on track as a consequence of that. It was a hell of a journey. And I can only imagine that it makes me easily imagine what other people are facing, just being so frustrated with this situation that we're all currently in. What about you, Claire? Do you want to say how you've been able to, your creative background and how that's helped you through the current restrictions?
Yeah, sure. I mean, anyone that looked at my CV would wonder when I was going to settle on what I was actually going to do for a career. But I think the golden thread that's throughout all of the work that I've always done is bringing a creative approach to it. And at the heart of it all has always been people and community and finding ways to communicate, I guess, in different ways. And I've always, my training is as an artist, my degree is in the arts, ceramics and textiles specifically. But like many people post degree, I fell into the sphere of looking after everyone else's work. And so did some work in galleries and some curatorial work and arts officer work, and then moved into all sorts of different jobs over the years. And currently, at the moment, I'm actually a county councillor for the area in which I live and also the area in which I grew up, even though I've travelled fairly extensively through my life. I came home some 7-8 years ago. So my kind of take on this and the angle that I'm seeing a lot of this through at the moment, and you'll pick this up throughout the next few episodes, I'm sure, is as someone who is quite close to local government and quite close to a lot of those discussions around the economy and budgets, and particularly for me, health. I have a lot of the work that I focus on is working with health colleagues across the county. And so I'm really hearing a lot of the frontline impacts of this. So, and for my own ends, the difficulty I found personally over the last year, prior to COVID, just before lockdown last year, I actually had an interview for a job that would have taken me much closer to the direction of the kind of work that I wanted to be involved in, which was much more around using creativity to support people's mental health and creating spaces where people can share stories and celebrate as well as heal, and really kind of step out of the everyday craziness of life. And it was a really exciting proposition. And unfortunately, that whole project got completely derailed by COVID, and it's still not back on the cards yet. So personally, it's really shifted where I foresee things going for me. And I'm still got a lot of uncertainty around that. And that's been, I don't think I've really acknowledged how much of an upheaval that's been, actually.
Talking about that missed opportunity, because I know, having spoken with you at the time, just how excited and how much of an appetite you had for that particular job that was coming your way, just at the time that all these restrictions suddenly clamped down on us. In the fallout from that, how did you feel about that? How did you manage not to get so frustrated that it was just so overwhelming, and try and find a refocus on your joy for creativity?
I mean, it's been incredibly difficult, to be honest. And I think without a doubt, my friendship with you and our conversations around this podcast and our thoughts about, because it's not just the podcast, we've talked about all sorts of ideas and projects we'd like to focus on into the future and where things might go. And that was hugely helpful, certainly in the beginning, in kind of almost like a life raft to hold on to. But the bottom line is, I think, and probably speak for many people at the moment, what I am struggling with, and I struggle with on a daily basis, is how do you find the energy and the space to be creative and do all the, and because you know that when you actually find the space to be creative in whatever way, however small or however big, it actually creates more energy in your life. It's almost has its own momentum. But actually just doing that in the first place is really difficult, because like many, I feel just so exhausted by it all. And a lot of my work, as I've mentioned already, is really quite demanding. And I spend a lot of time with casework supporting other people. And it's really tricky to realize that in amongst all of that, actually, you need to continually be feeding your own creativity, because otherwise you end up running on empty and you're no use to anyone, really. And it's very easy to unintentionally isolate yourself even more, because the less you do, the less contact you have with people, the less chance you have to sit across from someone in a cafe, like you said. It feels like a lifetime ago we were able to do that, and I really, really miss it. the less likely I am to then want to engage with other things as well. And it's a real battle. And even preparing for this podcast today, you know, I had a good 5 minutes of my head running away with itself saying, well, you haven't done anything. You haven't done anything for ages. You've only done bits and pieces. You know, this is the whole point. How can you talk about it? But this is what it's really like. And I think we've both said that we want to be really honest in, you know, in our, when we're having these discussions. And that's a hard thing to do.
I mean, it's interesting. You were talking there about these very essential parts of your work, which take a lot of time and effort to funnel energy into, but then that takes you away from the things that spark your joy and enthusiasm, and namely that creativity. Is there ever a battle, however conscious or unconscious, to think, well, I really should be focusing on these things because they're clearly far more important than creativity in the long run? Do you ever fall into that trap of creativity is shoved to one side because life just interrupts everything?
Yeah, I think in reality, yes, that happens. But I think consciously, argue against that, for example. So whenever I'm having conversations and with people, and because there isn't anything, to me, there isn't anything more important than individuals and societies and communities realizing their full creative potential, because it's from that we can solve all of the problems. Doesn't matter what they are, it's from that the most innovative solutions come. And also from that you can gain your own sense of worth and have more understanding about yourself. So I fundamentally believe that. And I often, don't get me wrong, I will often find myself in meetings thinking, I'm sure I could be doing more good if I was laying a field staring at the clouds right now. it absolutely does happen in reality that it gets pushed out of the way. And there's a whole, something we'll probably get into another time as well, which is those kind of capturing the energy flows. You know, I've talked about this, we've discussed this in the past many times, where there's a different feeling, you know, like in your very being when I'm sat in a meeting with very serious, it's very heavy kind of issues and what have you, and everything feels very heavy and serious. And that is the least productive kind of energy to create from. So the kind of prep for a meeting for me, which might sound very different to how maybe other people would prep, or you'd expect people to prep for a meeting, a lot of the prep for that is me thinking the best thing I can do in this meeting is be present and try and hold on to that lighter kind of spaciousness to allow some creativity into meetings that you wouldn't think it would be the appropriate time to have it. But it takes practice. That's better than effort. It takes practice. And I think that's what I've spent a lot of time doing through lockdown, is trying to hold that kind of different energy wherever I'm working.
I mean, have you not had the opportunity just to switch the camera off and start doodling or doing a little make in the background without serious meetings seeing what you're doing?
Yeah, and I mean, I do, there is an element of that, and sometimes it's just as simple as having your camera off and just doing some breathing exercises and things. And it's amazing, actually, if you just do that, the whole landscape shifts, you know, it becomes not this. I know things aren't, I'm not on the right track when I start to see the week ahead as a series of to-dos. But that's a difficult space to get out of once you're in that. It's quite a challenge, and I'm sure everybody feels like this. I think the thing that many people are craving at the moment, or certainly those of us who haven't had time to step back from work, you know, that I haven't been furloughed, I haven't been moved on to other things, my kind of workload has actually increased throughout COVID, is just the longing for some space to to start to recharge. I mean, even the prospect of coming back to that opportunity we discussed previously, you know, it kind of gets to the point where even the prospect of tackling such a the energy it would take to bring to a new project like that, you know, there are days when I think I don't even know if I'd have that energy right now, even if the opportunity came again. And that's the challenge for all of us, isn't it? How do you resting whilst continuing to do all of the stuff you've got to do? It's really difficult.
Yeah, I mean, I would freely admit that at the start of lockdown in March 2020, I suppose I had bags of energy and thinking, oh, right, I'm going to be doing this, I'm going to be doing that. And, you know, I went so far as to, while people were grabbing toilet rolls off supermarket shelves to keep them going, I was thinking, well, what can keep me creatively uplifted and energized? And I was grabbing Lego pirate ships off shelves and ordering things like that off Amazon just to keep my creative fuel going. But yeah, I would say that as it's progressed and it's gone along, it's been like riding a wave. There've been absolute highs where I feel absolutely buoyant and yes, we're going to get through this, and I've got all the energy in the world to do something creative, which I've done. But then there's that drop off point. There's that point where I've felt like I've plunged off a cliff and I'm right back down at the foot of the mountain again and thinking, oh, how did I get here? And I think that only is a consequence of the fact that I don't have those close connections in the same way, where, you know, we could have had a coffee one weekend as we once did, and we could have thrashed it out, talked through it, and come away feeling absolutely energized and right, I'm going to roll up my sleeves and tackle the world. But because you really have to consciously create a space on, as we're doing now, remotely, to be able to still have those collaborations, it's very difficult when that isn't naturally to hand in the way that it once was. But on the upside, we've ripped the plaster off that. This is exactly why I think this podcast feels essential right now, because, you know, there's so many creatives who may feel isolated, and in isolation, those creative visions and ideas start to stagnate and maybe don't get off the starting block as they once did. And just, I think I really want to encourage more people to start to collaborate however they can, to just get that uplift and that tailwind behind them to move forward.
Yeah, and I mean, however bumpy it's going to be, you know, this year, things are moving in the right direction for us to be coming out of such kind of strict restrictions, I guess, and strict lockdown. So there is, and as we move, as the seasons change as well, you know, moving into spring is always a time when you start to think about new potential and new futures and what you could be on the horizon. So I think the timing is really good for it as well. And that the point you made about the connections in person, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, I have this image of, you know, you have a fire in a grate, and you introduce a piece of wood into the fire and that gets lit, and then you take it away and it's still burning. But it's that kind of, you have to keep going back to those connections. And when you don't have that, and when we're all as isolated as we have been and focusing on kind of just the basics, survival, really, that's where you get really, really depleted. So hopefully through these conversations and the connections that might make, and some of the recommendations as well of things that have worked for us, you know,
yeah,
some of the great podcasts that we listen to as well, other people, other creatives, and hopefully that can start to support others in that. And I think there's some good examples as well where arts activity and creative activity at grassroots level is really helping people's mental health in getting through all of this. And I think maybe we can talk about some of that as well.
Yeah.
Would be useful.
Now, the Creative Adventurers Survival Guide is all about supporting you, our fellow creatives, no matter where you are on your journey. Whether you're just starting out on a new quest, a new project, whether you're a seasoned practitioner, and certainly if your career has been directly affected by these very unusual times. So throughout these episodes, we really want to highlight the wealth of talent and imagination that exists across the artistic landscape and give you a voice. So in upcoming episodes of this podcast, we'll be meeting other fellow creative adventurers, whether they be designers, musicians, performers, or writers, such as Phil Muse, who is author of the best-selling memoir Orphan Boys, which is a story that lays bare the loss of both his parents when he was just 7 years old. But far from being all doom and gloom, this is a story that's wrapped up in the idyllic childhood of the 1970s.
To be honest, I can't take credit for the idea of writing Orphan Boys. That credit has to go to the writer and broadcaster, Sandy Toksvig, who... I'm not just name dropping. Sandy is a friend and a former colleague of mine, and we were making game show 15 to 1, quiz show 15 to 1 for Channel 4. And we were in the pub one night after filming, and we were chatting, and I was asking her advice about writing a novel because I'd attempted to write a novel and wasn't getting very far because I kept reverting to my own story. And Sandy knew the basic outline of my childhood. We chatted about plenty of occasions. And she said to me, you need to write that story. And my reaction was, well, who would want to read it? And she just winked at me and said, you'd be very surprised. And so the next day I had a day off and I sat down and I thought, can I do this? And I started to go through my entire childhood and note down bullet points, and by the end of the day I was on the phone to both my brothers and said to them, I would really like to tell the story of what happened to us as children, would I have your blessing? And they both automatically said yes without even any hesitation.
And I have to say, it was an absolute pleasure to talk to Phil about his own creative journey, about writing Orphan Boys, and being able to find that strength to put his personal pain to paper while finding a new joy and a new career in writing. And if you're inspired to read Orphan Boys, and I highly recommend that you do, just search for Orphan Boys via Amazon. To get away from the doom and gloom of it all, what sort of things have really sparked your imagination and kept you going throughout this? Because I think we've probably all seen all manner of very talented people who put themselves out there online to, bring together communities and keep that morale going. I'm trying to think of the things that I've seen. I've seen tenors who are going outside the front door and putting on an operatic performance for the entire street and getting a standing ovation, which has been joyous to see. Has there been anything like that, or anything that has really given you that uplifting feeling because of creativity?
Yeah, I think certainly, and I'll talk about some local examples, really, and I'm sure these are kind of things are happening across the country, across the world. I mean, we've here, on Alston Moor, we've got a strong tradition of musicians. And in normal times, there are weekly, if not more often, jam sessions at various locations. And very quickly at the start of the lockdown last year, though, that group of musicians decided to take their Sunday sessions online. And that has continued throughout, pretty much without break. And we're now starting to see new musicians stepping into that space. There are the old favourites that everyone knows that you'd expect to see when you went in for a pint on a Sunday. But we're also seeing new creatives come into that space. So we're being introduced to new artists and performers. And the numbers of people that are watching that on Facebook Live every Sunday is amazing. And the where they're coming from as well. We've got people logging in from all over the globe to listen to this music and share comments and get the feedback. And that is incredible. You know, the tenacity of those individual musicians in the face of all of this to continue to put that music out there and to create new material and, you know, every week having to work on something for the next session, that's been really uplifting and it's been commented on a lot. And that kind of thing is wonderful because it's immediately connecting, and not only does it remind people of what we'll be going back to, but it's also opened up that world to a whole new audience that wouldn't have seen it if they weren't here on the ground. So there is an advantage to using this online kind of performance space in that you can access new audiences. And another one that's just recently happened yesterday, actually, part of the Highlights Rural Touring Programme here in Eden, Light Up Eden. And this was a series of works that were created across Eden, from poetry to choir and songs, to also lantern making that anybody could get involved in, and then and then take photos of and share online and things like that. And again, that sense of being connected to something bigger than yourself has really sparked everyone's imagination. So again, it comes back to that kind of fairly really local and raw. You know, I think that's where the potential for that initial energy for recovery comes from, is that really local, direct contact with your community. That is where I'm seeing those kind of green shoots of recovery. So that's really exciting.
Yeah, that's certainly something that we'll cover in further episodes, and something that we've talked about before about the creative mining of the people who exist right on the doorstep, in plain sight, essentially. But it's interesting that you talk about the numbers of people who are tuning into something like that, a live feed. That clearly indicates that there is a human thirst and a human need for creative energy and creative inspiration to attract that kind of audience. Now, interestingly, historically, I think it was after the plague that historically ravaged the world once upon a time, I think it was documented that quite quickly after that, there was this there was the Renaissance. There was this surge in creative revolution, shall we say. Are you hopeful that there will be that kind of resurgence once we get back to whatever normal will be after this?
I think there's the opportunity, certainly. I mean, all you need to do, again, is look back to the war when, at the same time the NHS was born, the Arts Council was born, and a lot of the major festivals were hot on the heels of that, Edinburgh, you know. And there was a real acknowledgement from a political point of view at that point in our history that actually for the well-being of the nation as well as the individual, how central cultural and arts activity was to that, you know, rebuilding afterwards and recovering. So there is a huge opportunity, and there is also, as you've rightly said, this loads of blueprints available to see how that can actually trigger that kind of recovery. So there is a huge opportunity. We wait to see whether our current politicians can take that up, and that's not being political at all. It's just, I think for me, you know, I've talked about this before, and we see this at a local level, a public health kind of level. I'd love to see a move away from the measurement of GDP, from pounds and pence and that kind of economy, to a measure of health and well-being of a nation as being at the core of policymaking. And if that shift started to happen, then I think we could see really incredible things happening going forwards. Yeah, what's it going to look like? I mean, another interesting thing I think was, has been heartening in some ways, is the fact that there is evidence of the fact that the welfare system does exist in the UK, and that there were measures put in place to try and minimise some of those impacts on people, whether it's the furlough scheme or the self-employed benefit, et cetera, and the support for businesses and things. But the gap, again, has been in the arts, isn't it? And this is, and I think some of the hardest hit organisations at the beginning of this, well, throughout, actually, are those that were more distant from that central system. So perhaps they had, and which I really support as well, which is trying to create their work and get their revenue not from grant funding, not being tied to a ever-shifting regulatory system that means you've got to be one thing to somebody and then totally another thing to another person. And how do you not, how do you maintain your own creative integrity through that kind of system? So I think there's a real opportunity. We look to our kind of leaders in the creative industries, don't we, to be really bold and brave in how we shape these things going forward. It's because there is going to be no shortage of evidence to show what previously we had in the arts and what they brought to society, and what we have when we come out of the pandemic. Huge amount of job losses, as you say. You know, that how is this the time to rethink the whole system? It's exciting as much as it's kind of, a huge challenge ahead. But I think the more people are having these discussions, the more people are taking the opportunity to really explore the potential for what they can do, even at the most local level, that starts to filter up as well. You know, that's where it's got to start for me.
And I think for any creatives at this point, however low you might be feeling, however challenged you might be feeling, it may just be great just to focus on the positive of what you imagine that world will look like. How do you imagine your creative vision will pan out in a fundamental shift as we try and pick things back up again? So as this podcast progresses, I think both Claire and myself will be exploring all the highs and lows that we've experienced in our own creative life. And we'll be also talking with fellow creative adventurers, shall we say, who have managed to succeed, whether they be authors, they be web designers, illustrators, work in performance. We'll be chatting with these types of people who have found ways and means to get through and to bring a creative vision to life before COVID and during all the restrictions that we've had to contend with as well. We very much look forward to sharing more of that with you.
I'm really looking forward to hearing from some practicing creatives. You yourself are one, and I feel I've said this before, and this probably into our next, into our next episode is, you know, around that. It's a struggle. I find it a struggle to move away from that the model of, I feel like I talk about a lot, but what is lacking for me is the space to actually do the work myself. So to hear, I will personally find it really inspiring, I'm sure, to hear from other creatives and practitioners who have been getting on with it and how they found it as well. So, and I'm also really keen, and I'm sure we will as well, that, you know, it'd be great for us to start sharing in our, in some of the, alongside these episodes, some of our own personal recommendations of things that have helped us through over the last many, many months. So yeah, it'd be good to include some of those as well so that you can hopefully share the joy.
Yeah, and you'll certainly be hearing about our very unique creative tastes and what joys they bring to us. So thank you for joining us on this very first episode of the Creative Adventurers Survival Guide. I really hope that you enjoyed the conversation between myself and Claire, and that we were at least able to rip that plaster off the state of the art as they exist at the moment in these very unusual times, and that hopefully you come away from this feeling that you're not on this journey alone. We as creatives have to go on this journey, and we have to go on it together, and that's really why we want to promote this idea of collaboration. So over the coming weeks, we'll be sharing our experience of overcoming obstacles such as imposter syndrome, really not believing in ourselves, how we find our creative tribe that exists right on the doorstep, and brainstorming just a load of ideas which we hope will inspire you to bring your own creative visions to life. So if you'd like to share more of the journey with us, you can follow us via Facebook or Instagram at Creative Adventurers Podcast, and please do drop us a message on there if you'd like to chat to us in future episodes about your creative journey, your challenges. Claire and I are always inspired to meet fellow creative adventurers along the way. And in the meantime, happy creating!